Welcome to a Believer's Voice of Victory Thanksgiving Week special. Join Kenneth Copeland today as he explains the cause, purpose, and outcome of how God intends to get bountifulness to you. Now here's Kenneth.
Second Corinthians chapter 9, there is a verse here, two of them that people miss concerning this, really. We've majored on and thought a lot about, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, he is referring to the grace in chapter 8. You abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, and in your love for us or your love for the ministry. See to it that you abound in this grace also, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be rich. Now you go back over here with me, please. In the 9th chapter, the 10th and 11th and 12th verses. There's cause, there's purpose, and there's outcome here. Now, verse 9, as it is written, now he's quoting in verse 9 and referring to, in verse 10, 11, and 12, the 112th Psalm. Amen. He hath dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that, and I said this wrong, for a long, long time. And finally, the Lord, I guess he's figured out I never was going to correct it, so he jumped on me about it. Well, he didn't jump on me about it. He was very sweet to me about it. But he was noisy about it. Well, he and I have a working agreement like that. He won't do you that way unless you invite him to. And I have a petition before him that's been there now for over 40 years that anytime I say any kind of unbelief out my mouth, any time I think unbelieving thoughts, you interrupt my thinking, you interrupt my speaking, I don't care if I'm speaking to somebody, preaching, or what I'm doing, you butt in on me and stop that. I will change it right now. And if you don't, I'm going to hold you responsible for it. He said, I'll do it. Oh, and he has... Man, he's corrected me in the middle of stores, and I barked out at one of my children one night, and I was in a drugstore. He said, you repent for that. I said, yes, Lord, forgive me. I said, I'll tell you just as soon as we get it. No, he said, you didn't say it at home. You said it right here in this drugstore. Now, you call him back around here and you get down there in his face and you repent and ask him to forgive you. You said it in this store. You ask him to forgive you in this store. I said, yes, sir. Now, I walked around there and got John. I said, John, I need to apologize to you, son. Now, here I am, you know, down on my knees in front of a five-year-old boy in a drugstore, man. And I said, John, that is wrong what I said to you. And I reminded him of it, and I told him why it was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. And I repented before God, and I said, now I'm asking you to forgive me, son. He jumped and grabbed me around the neck. He said, I forgive you, Daddy. Amen. Now, all of that has to do with what the Lord was dealing with me about. And he just stopped me. I said, well, you know, now the Lord provides bread for the eater and he provides seed for the sower and so forth. And the Lord said, That is not what I said. You didn't say you provide bread for the eater and seed for the sower? He said, no, I didn't. Well, I knew where it was. And I grabbed my Bible and I said, he ministers seed to the sower and ministers bread for food, multiplies seed to the sower, increase refrigeration. I said, yeah, you did right there. No, he said, I didn't. He said, I minister it.
That's what it says. Forgive me.
He that ministers seed to the sower, ministers bread for your food. He didn't say anything about bread for the hungry or the poor. He said bread for your food. And both minister bread for your food and the multiplying of your seed sown and the ministers the increasing of your fruits of your righteousness. He ministers it. He's the high priest. It's the same word translated priest. He's the high priest. We are kings and priests unto our God. When he blessed and broke the loaves and the fishes, he didn't pass them out. He ministered it through his ministry of his disciples. The miracles occurred in their hands. And it overflowed. Well, you don't think they passed out all that food and didn't eat any of it, do you? Sure they did. Fed them too. Now, here's the point. Here's what's so big about this. And this is the part that's been missed that I want to bring out to you tonight that the Lord asked me to bring out here. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Now, wait a minute. What has he just said? How is this bountifulness coming? Well, he's able to make all grace abound toward you.
Amen.
But how does he intend to get it there? Through the hands of his ministers. That's you and me, the body of Christ. He ministers seed for the sower. For the administration, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. All bountifulness. Which, yeah, underline this. You've got to have this. Which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Wow. You become an instrument that God, in the hands of God, that brings thanksgiving to God. You sow into somebody's life, and I mean to tell you, it'll cut thanksgiving loose in people. People just shout and go to praising God. Well, I don't want any praise for it. I don't need my name all over your building. I'd just soon not. But I'll tell you, I love to hear you give thanks to God. Because I get in there with you and start thanking God. The more I thank God, the more grace flowing towards me to all bountifulness. What's happening? We're abounding together. Can you see how important that verse is? Causing thanksgiving to God. Oh, hallelujah. You help somebody in a time of need, in a time of trouble. While by the experiment of this ministration, They glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. Well, that's exciting stuff.
I'm thankful for, I think it's mostly my family, my wife, my children, the time I have together with them, being able to give them things that I didn't have as a child, and teaching them, you know, that we still live in one of the best countries in the world, teaching them that, you know, you can serve God any way you want to. I'm thankful that, you know, we have the ability to say what we want, whether it's good, bad. You know, we have the freedoms to do things that we hold our convictions to, rather. Regardless of how other people think or how other people feel, everybody has that right.
My name is Patricia Sherwood, and I live in Charlestown, West Virginia, and we've been there a little over 8 years. I've been married for 15 years, and I've met Kenneth Copeland Ministries through a friend over 10 years ago, and I have to say that my life has not been the same ever since. A friend of mine, a gal I used to work with, had given me a cassette tape of Gloria Copeland. And it made so much sense to me. And yet it contradicted a lot of the images that I had. Once I heard that message, I wanted to hear more. Mm-hmm. It was just so full of life. My background is all in business, so I would go, whether it was customer service, seminars, or self-help, improvement, you know, time management, all of those things. And I would go to these meetings, and I'd hear all of this information, things to do. This is, you know, this is how you approach it. This is how you solve problems. And I'm like, oh, this is all so great. Well, then when I started reading the Bible is when I learned that's where it came from. That these people had no new ideas, that it was all in the Bible. Nobody ever told me that before. I started listening to the Copelands. I feel a strong connection with the ministry, not only because of the partnership and everything that that provides, but also that connection with Kenneth and Gloria as my teachers, my mentors, my spiritual parents. It's a nice package.
Some events happened in your life that probably were unexpected. Tell me a little bit about that.
My husband lost his job. At the time, he didn't have any particular prospects, and he was actually out of work for about 18 months. And things were fine for us, in that God really provided for us during that period of time. And my husband had some interim jobs. Eventually, that support was running out, and that was in 2007, as of July 1st, we had no health insurance and things like that. And my husband had applied for a job at a university, which would be a different career for him. And we were supposed to hear the results of that job search before the gentleman who was doing the hiring went on vacation on July 4th. So as the time approached, you know, that deadline that we were just holding our breath, waiting for. The July 3rd came and there was no phone call. And then July 4th, and there was no phone call. And it's a holiday and we're figuring, well, he went on vacation. He's already made his decision. So on July 5th, I had read a letter from Kenneth Copeland Ministries that I had received. And afterwards, I said, God, what are we supposed to do? And I prayed, because now it's like, now what do we do? This didn't work out. And the message I heard was that I was to sow a seed. So I did, and I sowed it to Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and I walked it to the mailbox that day. And the next day, my husband got a phone call from his now boss and offered my husband the job.
So you all came to your deadline. The deadline passed, and now you were in a situation where things were uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it was that God required that of you, Patty? Why did God direct you to sow that seed?
One, because of how reaping and sowing works. And the second part of that, I asked him, I said, God, what do we do now? So he told me, he said, sow a seed. And I guess I was surprised that I had not done that earlier. God had the situation in hand all the time. It was a matter of us being in a position to receive that.
Change came into your life and it wasn't something you expected or anticipated. But when you look back now on the journey that you and your husband have been through, can you see that this change has brought about good things in your life?
Yes, it has brought about good things and it has been a blessing in many ways. I mean, one, certainly financially. Since that time, we've grown together in our faith. We pray more together. I do realize that my husband, as a wonderful husband and provider that he is not my provider, that God is. I feel so for people who might be going through that kind of situation or this current economic turmoil without knowing the truth. Because what else is there to do but worry and panic? But I know that there's another way. I can't imagine, and I don't want to imagine, what it would have been like had I not had God to turn to. And I knew that God was there to turn to because of what I've learned through Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I know that His Word is true, and I know how valuable that Word is. I've learned how to interpret the Word so that I can apply it to my own life. I say frequently, I don't know where else I would have learned that if it wasn't for Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
KCM partner Cynthia Hall was a single working mom and a committed member of her church when she was introduced by her pastor to the teachings of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Cynthia and her daughter Dawn began attending believers' conventions, and this connection with Kenneth Copeland Ministries became a divine appointment.
I went through some health challenges, and watching, getting involved with the Copeland ministry, it just blessed me how to receive my healing on things. And I was blessed financially through the convention. I had debt up to here.
Really?
And I mean, I had probably a dozen credit cards, and I paid them off. You know, when I'll just say, the world would say it take me 30 years. It only took me about 2 years.
How did that happen, Cynthia?
Well, my daughter helped me. She's good with numbers and stuff. And you know, young can teach you some things. And she was telling me how I should use my debit card more, and so that pushed me away from using the credit card so much. So, you know, this is money that's mine that I'm using instead of borrowed money, as Brother Copeland says.
What was it, Cynthia, that you learned in the teachings that really encouraged you to get out of debt, to make changes in your finances?
Well, I knew from watching and from what my pastor have told us, I was in bondage. And it was like, I got to get out of this. And you know, and like I said, watching his broadcast and coming to the conventions, it has really filled me with that knowledge to do that.
So you stopped charging things?
Yes.
You consolidated, you moved things, you began to pay them off, paid it off in a miraculous amount of time, got out of debt. Did you change anything about the way you operated financially? Were you tithing at that time?
Oh, absolutely. I would not miss out on that. That is my lifeline. You know, that's my protection. That's where my blessings come from. I definitely tithe all the time. And, you know, I have partners that I'm, you know, partnering with. And I just feel like it's just blessed my life.
In just 18 months, through wise decisions, and the constant planting of seed through her tithes, Cynthia reaped her harvest and was delivered from the burden of high interest rates, compounding daily on more than $30,000 worth of debt. Everything in her life began to change as Cynthia operated in this new freedom. Her health was restored and her joy was renewed, even in the workplace.
I remember watching Brother Copeland one time when he said, you can make a Garden of Eden right there where you are. And I thought, yes, yes I can. And I, you know, I would do my Bible studies on my breaks, and it just blessed me. Even when I would go walking, I would just repeat the Psalm 91 while I'm walking, and it just filled me.
And so you're at work, you maybe had lost some of your passion, and though your job didn't change,
no,
you changed.
I did, because that's another thing Brother Copeland always reminds you about, walking in love, even when they're unloving. And, you know, it was like, you know, I just had this passion to love people. And I would love on them, and I knew that was just the new me, part of the new me coming out. And I liked it.
So your finances have improved, you're out of debt, things are improving at work.
Yeah.
And speaking of love, I think you fell into it, didn't you?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, my daughter and I and my sisters were believing for my husband, and I got married. His name is Michael Hall, and he's a wonderful man of God, and I am just so extremely grateful for him. And he's there for me, and I am there for him, and, you know, it's just a wonderful union that, you know, we can worship the Lord together and love on him, and any challenges that come our way, we know how to handle it because of the love of God and because of the ministries that we are connected with, Brother Copeland and Bishop Butler. So, no challenge is too big for our God.
Cynthia and Michael Hall now live in a beautiful home on an acre of land. After 34 years of employment and a generous bonus for Cynthia, they have both retired from their working careers and are able to spend time serving in ministry and pursuing the desires of their hearts. Cynthia's daughter, Dawn, graduated from Bible college and moved to Texas to work in her church. And these ladies still take the time to maintain the relationship with KCM.
It's just so many good things that has happened to me since I've been connected with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. You know, the word works, as Sister Copeland says. It just rings in my mind. Sometimes I can hear Brother Copeland's voice telling me things as if he was standing there and I could see his face, you know, when he's saying things, you know, and it's like, you know, just like Sister Copeland, the word works. You stay with it, you stand on it, you know, it'll bless you. His ministry has took me to another level, and I will never forget it. I have learned so much. It's like I know, and there's still more to learn. But I'm excited to receive that, you know, and it's been a blessing to me, and it's blessed me to bless other people.
I want to share something with you. I'm impressed to share this. I'm going to do it really quick. But our first Christmas in Tulsa, Ken and I moved to Tulsa because the Lord told us to. We had no money to do it, but we did it anyway. And some of you may be in such a desperate situation, you think there's no way out. Well, I wanted to tell you that our first Christmas in Tulsa, we hadn't been there all that long, and we had no money. We didn't have money for Christmas. We had little kids. And so then we got canned Chinese food for Christmas. That was our Christmas dinner. I'm sure you didn't forget that, Ken.
Nope.
And that, you know, that's just the way it was, right, but my point was, it was right before the breakthrough came for our finances. You know, we just had a little more obedience to go, and the blessing of the Lord came upon us.
All we could see was that we didn't have anything.
That's right.
We
it's
didn't
Christmas.
Know the breakthrough
we didn't
was there.
Have it.
I mean, all we could see was that for some reason or other, God sent us up here to go to school, and I wasn't all that thrilled about that.
But we didn't quit. And that's what I want to tell
you.
You
remember now, she said, they were coming up there to that holiday, and there was supposed to be a guy calling about this job. And she went before the Lord and said, what do I do? He said, sow a seed.
Right.
Now, why didn't God say, that's all right, baby, the job's already coming, he's going to call you such and such. And why did he say, sow a seed?
We have to have faith.
Yeah, that faith is your connection with God. Faith connects you to the spirit of faith. Fear connects you to the
that's
spirit
right.
of fear. So God has to keep her connected. He can't tell her all of that, or she'll get out of faith and get over in the natural and say, oh, well, yeah, and just watch TV the next 3 or 4 days. But now he's got to keep her connected, because if she separates, the devil will get between her and their breakthrough, and he'll cause something to happen over there in that guy's life, and he'll give that job to somebody else. But now God has to keep her coming, keep her connected. And she obeyed him. Took one more step.
Yeah, don't quit.
Took one more step.
Don't quit.
Took one. God, I can't you just hear, because come on, baby. Come on, baby. One more step.
Don't
come
be
on.
Moved by
come
this.
On. Come
on.
And God's able to just jerk it together. Yeah. And there it is. Hallelujah. Wasn't
glory
that exciting?
To God. Amen.
Amen.
Don't quit.
And it in both those testimonies, the element there was the same thing. It's a continual obedience to the Word, depending on God. Jesus said, what are you worrying about? Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Seek the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And all these
that's
things will be
key,
added
right
to you.
There.
You don't have to see them. You don't even have to, you don't even have to see all that.
That's right.
You just begin to give thanks. I know my heavenly Father knows I have need of these things. I'm not worried about it. I roll the care of it over on Him. What do I do, Lord? Sow a seed. Don't make sense. It doesn't need to make sense. It makes faith. Oh, okay. And you, well, I don't have much. Well, we didn't have anything. And the first offering that
obviously
came up before us, I pulled a button off my shirt and put it in the offering container. But it is a seed. I didn't know it at the time, but it was. We'll see you the next time. Till then, you remember that Jesus is Lord.
Come to these exciting meetings. Hello, My Name is God, live, a meeting with Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons on November 20th and 21st. Join them at the Atlanta Marriott Century Center in Atlanta, Georgia. The Copeland Family Meeting in Orlando, Florida is December 3rd through 5th. Join George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons for a time of ministry at the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org. Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Be sure to request your special gift from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, the music CD, Christmas Every Day. Prepare for the upcoming season and enjoy the songs that will fill your heart with the joy of Christmas. Request your free copy today. For faster processing, order online through our website at kcm.org. Or if you prefer, call us toll-free, 800-600-7395. One per household, please.